Our dad will be here soon. Do 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 do. Sparks fluent.
We're going to kick this week off in sports with Carson Wentz. He's been benched for Jalen Hurts, who's playing better than he is. But he's come out and said he refuses to come off the bench, and he's looking to be released or moved, obviously in the offseason, to go to an opportunity where he will be the starter of a team. But here's the reality, Carson. You haven't shown that you can be a starter in the NFL, often injured, and when you do play, you haven't looked great. Now, a lot of people will say, very few weapons, a depleted offensive line in Philadelphia was part of the reason. I don't disagree with that. However, Jalen Hurts has looked pretty good, and although he hasn't won games, he's thrown for a lot of yards, he's looked a lot better than Wentz has in that offense. So is there a system where Wentz can be successful? Yeah, I think there is. Actually, I think he'd be really fit right in San Francisco. However, to come out publicly and say, I need to be a starter, I don't know. I found it a little pouty, if you ask me. Staying in the NFL, we'll now move our attention to the New York Jets. They were oaf and whatever, and it looked like they were going to go the entire season without winning a game, which many of us believed was deliberate because they were losing for Lawrence. Oh, the tanking of professional teams to get the number one pick. It drives us all crazy, but we know they kind of do it. The problem is the Jets couldn't even do that right. And many believe, me included, that Sam Darnold did his absolute best to help his own cause. By not getting the first overall pick, the likelihood that the Jets will get Lawrence is reduced, and maybe, just maybe, the Jets look at picking up some pieces to help Sam Darnold win. He's a talented quarterback who could probably lead a team, just not the Jets team. I don't think any quarterback could lead that Jets team. They have bad coaching, bad players, bad chemistry. It's just a bad team all around. So, do the Jets take that number two pick and Sam Darnold and trade it to the Jags for the number one pick? Do the Jags somehow win a game and move back into the second overall pick, allowing the Jets to take Lawrence? I guess we'll see. Now to the NBA. It looks like James Harden is pulling his best Antonio Brown. He's disruptive. He came in out of shape. He came in late to Rockets training camp. He threw a ball at a rookie and apparently went on a bit of a tirade, picking on players, yelling at teammates. He's trying to get traded. We get that. But this just hurts your trade value, and it slows down the process because the Rockets still value you as a player. You're one of the greatest scorers in the NBA, and they're going to want to get fair market value, which they won't. No team ever does, but they're trying their best. Harden has been rumored to be going to the Celtics, where I think he's going to be a chemistry killer there. He's also been rumored to go to the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors obviously aren't happy with the way Pascal Siakam played last year in the bubble. He was having a great season until the bubble, and he looked kind of out of sorts. So far in the preseason this year, though, he has looked better. And I would warn the Raptors against making a trade of Pascal Siakam and others for James Harden. You already have a small backcourt with Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. VanVleet would obviously have to be moved to a sixth man role. And then you have a bunch of holes in your lineup based on some of these trade scenarios. And unless James Harden really wants to play, I was going to say in Toronto, but really in Tampa, I don't know how a backcourt of Kyle Lowry and James Harden would do. They'd clearly have to score a lot of points, or Lowry, OG Anunoby, and others would really have to step up their defensive game to cover James Harden's, I don't want to say lack of defense, although I do, but his unwillingness to be a strong defender. So we'll see how that one turns out moving forward. Lastly, in the NBA for this week in sports, I'm going to give you my preseason predictions. So the season's about to start this week, and here's what I got from the West. With the 8 seed, the Trailblazers. 7th, the Suns. 6th, the Warriors. 5th, the Clippers. 4th, the Jazz. 3rd is the Nuggets. The Mavericks taking a big step up in 2nd. And the Los Angeles Lakers taking the Western Division. I think the Lakers, with obviously you have LeBron James, you have AD, but they've really done an exceptional job of building around them. And I think they're a deeper and definitely a younger team with better shooting than they were a year ago. If they click and the chemistry is there, talent-wise, they have all the tools needed to win the Western Conference and to defend their title. So let's move to the East. The Wizards in 8th. I like Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal if those two stay together as a backcourt. I think they're going to wreak havoc on the Eastern Conference. The Pacers, again, assuming everyone stays healthy. Been a lot of issues with health there with Victor Oladipo and others not staying healthy, but I like the Pacers. The Hawks have done all the right things in the offseason at 6, the Bulls at 5, the Celtics at 4, the Heat at 3, and I would have put the Heat higher, but I think there might be a little finals hangover, short offseason for the Heat, but I still think they're going to be up there. The Nets, KD looks like he never missed a game so far in the preseason. We hope he and Kyrie can stay healthy because I really want to see what the teams can do healthy. And then repeating as the Eastern regular season champions, the Bucks. Let me know what you think, sportsfluent.com, or email me directly at anthonyk@sportsfluent.com. This week on sportsfluent.com, the GOAT Chronicles, you're going to see a step away from the usual statistics and accolades. And we're talking Jordan versus LeBron. It's got to be the shoes. Yeah, the shoes. Everyone knows the Jordans. Everyone knows LeBrons. But how did they come about? How did Jordan and LeBron get their signature shoes? And what do they look like? Whose are better? Whose have sold more? And here's a little excerpt from this week's article. Nike signed Jordan to a $500,000 a year over 5-year contract. Internally, Nike had sales goals of around $3 million in sales, but by the end of the fourth year of the contract. Instead, Nike sold over $120 million worth of shoes in year one, and it's believed Jordan has made over $1.3 billion with a B in his 35 plus years of partnering with Nike. Read the entire article, Jordans versus LeBrons, It's Gotta Be the Shoes, on sportsfluent.com. The NBA rigged the 2002 Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Kings in an attempt to allow the Lakers an opportunity to continue their season and play for another championship. It's a conspiracy that has been thrown around for many years. And when you look at the tape, there's lots of instances where you can find this to be true. In fact, years later, NBA referee Tim Donaghy, who resigned and later admitted to gambling on NBA games, suggested that the conspiracy was real, noting that he had heard a game had been fixed that matched the description of the playoff game. Here's why people believe it. The Lakers trailed the Kings 3-2 in the series and were tied heading into the fourth quarter. The Lakers shot 27 free throws in the fourth quarter and scored on 16 of their last 18 points at the free throw line to win the game by 4. The Lakers would go on to win that series and the NBA championship. If you're a Kings fan, you can find tons of video evidence of phantom fouls, and anytime there's a huge conspiracy or a huge discrepancy in free throws, that's the first thing you looked at. For those that don't believe in the conspiracy, they'll tell you that Donaghy didn't work that game in question, and his story is secondhand knowledge because he said he heard about a game that sounded like that one. More likely, it was just a wild guess in an attempt to add legitimacy to his claims that he was not the only ref rigging games. The fact of the matter is, there was a ref, Donaghy, who did fix games. To think that there wasn't another one in the entire league ever in the history? Well, I don't know. Is it a one in a million shot? Or is it more likely that it has happened? You're going to have to make up your own mind on this one. But for now, Lakers fans don't believe in the conspiracy. Kings fans do believe in the conspiracy. And everybody else is probably somewhere in between. Now, for the fix. It's your favorite part of the show. It's the fix. And this week, we're talking Hall of Fame. Which one? All of them. Because all of them make so many mistakes. There's too many people in every professional sports Hall of Fame that don't belong there. And in every one, there's players that should be in that aren't. Here's just a couple of examples. Baseball Hall of Fame. Pete Rose. Why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? He should be. Yeah, he gambled. I get it. And he gambled on baseball. True. I guarantee he didn't bet on his team losing because look at the way he played. His nickname was Charlie Hustle. He's one of the greatest baseball players who ever lived. He needs to be in the Hall of Fame. But I can probably find you another 10 that shouldn't be. The problem with all the halls is that they're written and voted on by people in the press and people who have personal feelings and opinions. You'll hear many people tell you, well, I didn't vote for him or her because I didn't like them. Terrell Owens in the NFL didn't get in as a first-time ballot Hall of Famer. But if you looked at him statistically, the way he played on the field, even the way that he practiced, that's a first-time Hall of Famer. However, many said, because of his attitude, his prima donna antics, they didn't vote him in. Well, that's not the point of the Hall. The point of the Hall is for the greatest players. So here's one that shouldn't be in the Hall. Lynn Swann. Don't get me wrong, he had two great Super Bowl runs, but he had 336 receptions for just over 5,400 yards. He never finished in the top five in receptions or yards any of the years that he played. Well, if you're not the best at your position or even in the top five at your position any year that you play, how can you be a Hall of Famer? Go to the NBA. Bill Bradley, great politician, but he's a one-time All-Star who averaged 12 points a game and 3 rebounds. That doesn't sound like a Hall of Famer to me. There's tons of examples like this, and that's my problem. There's so many people in the Hall of Fame that are there undeservingly, and there's a ton that should be in that aren't. The NFL, another great example. Devin Hester is the greatest return man ever, period. End of discussion. They literally changed the rules of returns because he was destroying the league. That's a Hall of Famer. And the fact that he wasn't put in at first time is ridiculous. And you'll get a lot of this in the NFL where certain positions, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, are getting voted in, and offensive linemen, defensive linemen aren't getting put in. Special teams players aren't getting put in. Again, because it's a popularity contest for votes. That's not what should happen. So here's my suggestion. How do we fix it? We know there's a problem. Well, we can't remove everybody out of the Hall of Fame. As much as I would like to remove everybody out of the Hall and start over, no, we can't do that. But what we can do is create almost a section in the Hall of Fame for the truly greatest players. For example, you can add a patch or a crest to those beautiful golden jackets that the NFL gives out and give them their own special section where they can say, hey, these are the best of the best. Much like the NFL Network did their, you know, top 100 out of 100 last couple of years, that's what they should do with the Hall. Make that separation between the greatest players of all time and these Hall of Famers. That's the fix for this week. Let's change the Hall of Fame. That's it for this week's episode of Sports Fluent. Remember to check out all the shows on the network at sportsfluent.com. And don't forget to check out on all your podcast platforms and on YouTube, The Coach and AK Experience with me, Anthony Kay, and NFL coach, Hugh Jackson. That's it for this week. Until next week, are you fluent?